Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
Trying times are very important to remember we pull together as a community. Small businesses all over are going to be feeling the lasting effects of this pandemic. If you are a small business trying to get the word out that you're still serving the community, let us know. Send us an email to 987ESPN@gmail.com. Let us know your story so we can pass the word along to our community. Let's be fair. If you would have asked me yesterday, and you guys might know, but if you would have asked me yesterday who's the head coach of Florida State football, I don't know that I'm actually confident I wouldn't have had any idea who it was. I'm serious.
Not the sports trivia guru Dave Rothenberg. No idea?
Listen, I'm transparent. I'm being totally honest.
You would have known that it's not Willie Taggart because they fired him.
I did know that. I know it's not Bobby Bowden. I know it's not Willie Taggart. I wouldn't have known who it was. Would you have known who it was?
I mean, it's not something that we talk about every day with college football, but I knew Mike Norvell from Memphis got the job as the Florida State head coach. Yeah.
All right, so you did. All right, yeah. So you did. I honestly had absolutely no idea. He was at Memphis. He hasn't coached a game at Florida State. Now you'd have to say it could be in question, Rick, if he ever coaches a game at Florida State. I don't know why he would this angers me to no end. Comes out with this gigantic statement about how he's had individual conversations with every single player on his team. Lot of open communication, went back and forth individually with every player this weekend. It's something that was important to him because it's a heartbreaking time in our country. You see hate. This is all a tweet from him. You see hate, discrimination. You see some of the acts that have occurred. I mean, it's such a problem, and it's something we have to stand together and work to get fixed as a team and as a country. And you think to yourself, boy, this is a guy who's gets it, right? This is a guy who's doing the right thing. Players are coming out and saying this never happened. This is a lie. Marvin Wilson says this did not happen. We got a generated text that was sent to everybody. There was no one-on-one talk between us and the coach. It's a lie, and my teammates and I are outraged and will not be working together until further notice. I mean, if this is a lie, this is disgraceful from this coach.
What do you mean if this is a lie?
It is a lie.
What Marvin Wilson said. I mean, that's if I'm going to take him for what he said. There's no mistaking this. This is not a one-on-one. A generated text message is not a one-on-one conversation with each player.
If you're the athletic director for Florida State, what are you thinking this morning? Like you can't win for losing.
No.
After a couple of years with Willie Taggart and how that miserable experiment failed.
You're paying him through the nose right now to not be the head coach of your team.
Yeah, because they're paying him what, for the next couple of years, right?
I think it's just under $14
million. Ooh.
My God. And now you have this guy coming out saying, did he think it wasn't going to be found out? I can't rationally understand why someone would be so clueless and make a statement like this.
Well, I guess it comes down to what Rick said during the break. You're just trying to make yourself look better in this situation. And I don't think that this is necessarily the time to attempt to do that. And so, yeah, I could get why Florida State's players are frustrated when they're saying they hear their coach come out and say that he's had one-on-one discussions when, in actuality, the coach sent out a computer-generated text message. come on, man. Like, one is a little different than the other one. So I guess it seems like it's insincere in a time where people's hearts need to be fixed on trying to be as sincere, as genuine as they possibly can.
But if you think it was necessary and you come out with the statement, why not actually do it when you have nothing but time now?
Well, why not do it first and then make the statement? Like, why not take care of that? Like, if you're going to say that we had a lot of open communication and went back and forth individually with each player one-on-one, why not do that first?
Of course.
And then you can promote the fact that you did it, as opposed, use this opportunity to self-promote yourself as being this, you know, this new head coach that's in tune with what's going on and, you know, is willing to listen to his players and go back and forth, when in actuality, all you did was come up with some generic text message that you sent to each guy on the team. It's embarrassing.
You have to question whether he's ever going to coach a game at Florida State.
If money wasn't an issue, I would fire him today.
But you know what? It's going to be an issue for all of these college programs.
Of course it is. And the timing of this for the colleges is bad because they're paying Taggart the just under 14 million. And then I think they pay Norville $4 million a year.
Ugh. Yeah, but here's what I don't get, Rick. Like, what's wrong with coming out and saying, I reached out to our players this weekend about, you know, the ongoing discussion that's happening in this country and the tragedy with the murder of George Floyd, and just letting them know that we're here for them and we stand with them in the fight against racism and systemic oppression. What's wrong with saying that?
There's nothing wrong, especially, I mean, especially under the circumstances.
There's nothing wrong
too.
With saying that.
I mean, you don't have everyone in one spot, so you're not going to have, I mean, it'd be tough to get everyone together to have what you should have, which is a face-to-face team meeting.
Yeah, you can't do that just based on the current circumstances. We get that.
That's all you had to say. I mean, this is of the utmost importance, and I want to make it my priority to have, you know, one-on-one conversations with all my players. Not, I've already had one-on-one conversations with all my players.
This open, wonderful, sincere dialogue with all my players.
In my mind, I already did it, so I feel like I can come out and say it.
But the thing that makes it so gross is it feels like this is all about him.
No, like, he feels like, you know what, Dave? He feels like those people we were talking about yesterday. The influencers who go out and they just say, hey, take a picture of me with this drill, and then I'm going to jump back in my car.
That's what this is. Yes, 100% right, Rick.
That's exactly what it was.
That's exactly what
it was.
It was
the online version of the selfie.
That's what it was,
right?
That's it.
And then he'll jump back in his Mercedes and go. Be on his way.
That's unbelievable, man. This is a guy who's tasked with shaping college kids into men. And this is what he comes out with.
Could you imagine you're Marvin Wilson, you read this somewhere, like, you know, I had one-on-one, you're like, wait a second, what?
No, but Dave, you know exactly what he did after that. He called all of his homeboys on the team, and he said, hey, listen, did Coach call you?
Right.
Like, he called everybody, because it's not just Marvin Wilson with this. You know what I'm saying? It's Jamarcus Chapman and Darius Washington and Isaiah Bolden. Like, he reached out to his teammates just to see what they would have to say. Did they actually talk to the coach? And when none of them said that they had any conversation with the coach, that's when he felt like he needed to take to Twitter to check him. And he's absolutely right for doing it.
Of course he is. The stupidity that goes through someone's mind to do something like this is really, it's mind-boggling.
I mean, just when you thought it couldn't get worse, it's like, here, hold my beer. I'm going to go.
Right.
One
I got you. I got you. Even Rothenberg didn't know how I was yesterday. I'll show him.
Everyone I told knows. These guys how grateful I am to be a part of the journey. Well, guess what? It's going to be a pretty short journey.
So he might never coach a game at Florida State. You got to think that that's realistic.
How does he go back in that locker room after saying what he just said and having the response from his players?
I don't know, but can they afford to fire him and pay another coach?
Is there any way that you could fire him with cause and not have to pay him?
I'm sure they're looking into that right now.
There's got to be some kind of
that's what's happening right now.
A clause, right?
That's happening right now, Dave.
That's why Florida State hasn't made any official comment. They've been trying. ESPN and the Athletic have been trying to reach out to them, and they've got no comment so far because Florida State is trying to look at all their options in terms of dealing with Mike Norvell.
Mike Norvell is set to make $26.5 million through 6 years at Florida State. He will
make
he
could have potentially made a $26 million mistake
for no reason. For no reason, do one of two things. Don't come out with the text. Do the right thing and speak to all your players who come out with the text. But to do this where you say, yep, I spoke to all of them. We had one-on-ones. It was very heartfelt. It was very deep and meaningful. And then to have done nothing, it's incredible.
That is incredible, Dave. I mean, you can't make that up.
No.
Like, you really can't.
No. You can't.
It seems like something silly to lie about.
Where you tell yourself, like, you tell the lie so many times in your head, you actually start to believe it.
That's what it is.
Right. This is something like my kids would do. I'm like, guys, listen, come on. And make it a teaching moment. Not a guy running a major college program who's 38 years old said.
It's like when I ask Milo, did you clean up? Yeah, I cleaned up.
Right.
Did you clean up?
And you
yes,
look
I
like
cleaned.
Stuff all over the floor. You're like, you did not. You're lying to me, right?
Well, I thought I cleaned up. Well, I thought
it's
it,
clean.
No, you didn't.
It's clean-ish. Right.
Yeah. Well, when you say
in my head,
up, Dad.
In my head, I was going to clean up, but I got all of a sudden, I got my attention was somewhere else, and I didn't get to it.
Yeah, it is unbelievable.
What was to be gained by this?
This is self-promotion. This is in a time of right in a time of tremendous trouble and disdain in this country. I have had conversations with all of my players.
Which is really sad when you think about it, Dave.
It's pathetic.
Because based on where we're at in this country, the current climate, why would you feel the need to try to self-aggrandize under these circumstances? Like, I mean, listen, you reached out to the players. You sent out the text message. That's great, okay? Letting them know that we're here for you and we stand with you in this fight. Okay, that's all great. But to take it as far as to say I've had one-on-one discussions and he didn't need to do that.
No.
That wasn't necessary.
It's actually funny and sad all wrapped up in one.
And quite frankly, Dave, I don't know that his players were looking for that right now in this moment. Because they're probably still trying to process what's going on.
But at least be truthful. Like, whether they're looking for it or not, if you write this, I mean, and I would almost say it's too long to read on air. Like, it's a really well thought out, well written, multiple paragraph tweet of what he claims he did. So even if the players aren't looking for it, at least be truthful about it. It almost feels like there's something wrong with him that someone would do something like this.
It definitely shows a lack of character, which, I mean, for me, hiring a head coach of a college team period would be a deal breaker to have this kind of character. It's not like he's been their coach for a couple of years where he's built up some sort of equity. He didn't coach the game yet.
No. I mean, he might have met these players 2-3 times. He might not even really know them at all yet.
That's one of the biggest things with you know, kids in high school and college and their coaches is trusting and being able to trust your coach.
Yep.
How can you trust them now?
Trust takes a long time to build up, Rick. You know that. Trust takes a long time to build up.
It's quick to end it, though. You can eliminate it quickly, but to build it takes a long time.
That's amazing, man.
It really is.
To go from the mess that was Willie Taggart to this now, I mean.
We should have kept Willie Taggart.
Bring him back. They're already paying him.
They can't. He got a new job already.
Well, where's he now?
He's at FAU.
Oh, boy. The power that is in Florida Atlantic, huh?
Oh, yeah. Bounce back.
Oh, my God. It is incredible.
Oh, my gosh.
Guys, listen, these stories are
incredible. You couldn't make this up.
No. And I thought maybe you would use it for observations, but it's too big of a story. Like it deserves.
No, it would be the whole observations. I mean, I may name the segment after him.
Right.
The Mike Norville.
The Mike Norville sponsored observations.
The Mike Norville report.
Yeah. An observation did it happen? Brought to you.
The best part is, did it happen in Florida?
Yes. And the answer would be, of course.
Of course it did.
Of course it did. All right. So a lot of weird news, a lot of bad news. But it sounds like guys potentially, very soon, good news. The vote by the NBA Board of Governors is going to happen today at 12:30, fully expected to pass. And it would be 22 teams into the postseason, 8 teams, I guess 10. How many teams are in the NBA?
30.
Yeah. So 8 teams would be on the outside looking in, but you'd have 22 teams, finishing the regular season into the postseason, and that would start on July 31st. So this is going to be, and we discussed a little bit yesterday, but we're on the verge of this officially happening, our first real definitive date of sports will be back on July 31st.
Can you explain something to me quickly, though?
Maybe.
I'm asking both of you this question. So everything I've read so far going into what they're going to vote on. So you have the 22 teams. You're going to have the 8 regular season games, and then the play-in will be for the A seed,
right?
8 versus 9.
Okay. Yes.
If they're within 4 games or whatever.
Correct.
So does that mean now that it'll be, so that would insinuate that it's going to be East versus West, correct? It'll be 8 in the East and 8 in the West?
Yes.
Okay. So that means that Portland, New Orleans, Sacramento, San Antonio, and Phoenix are all fighting for that 8th seed. And then the only team fighting for the A seat is the Wizards on the East.
It feels like that. Now, I can't tell you that's definitive, but because I haven't heard anybody actually speak to that, but that's what you would surmise from where we are, right?
Yes.
So in actuality, when you look at the standings, Dallas has a 7-game lead on Memphis for the A seat. So Dallas is 7, Memphis is 8.
Right.
So if you do see a play-in, it's going to be Memphis versus
Portland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or New Orleans.
Yeah. Yeah, they're all right there. I mean, listen, Portland, I think, is 3.5 games back of Memphis. So there's a chance, like, if it were to start today, it would be Portland. So, I mean, I think that was the whole point in setting it up this way, because Dame Lillard came out and said, unless they have a real chance of making it into the postseason, he didn't want to come back and play. This satisfies that, but they also wanted to find a way where they can include Zion Williamson and some of the other young players around the league. And a lot of those guys are in the Western Conference and in the bottom teams. And so this, I think, gives them the ability to have all of those guys on this stage in a return to play. And it protects the integrity of what we know the NBA of the NBA postseason. So I think it's a solid proposal. I don't really see a whole lot of problems with it.
I don't have an issue.
It doesn't really affect the top two teams either. I mean, Milwaukee's got a 6.5 game lead, and the Lakers have a 5.5.
The one seeds are locked in. I mean, Milwaukee is going to get the one seed. Lakers are going to get the one seed. Yep. I mean, honestly, and not that it even matters all that much at this point, because there's no home court advantage.
Yeah.
But from 2-7, from 3-6 in the West is separated by two games in the loss column.
Yep.
So, I mean, you could have, now, you may not care about moving up to get home court, because home court is really
matchups, though.
Right. But do you want to play this team in the first round, or would you rather play this team? Now, I saw something was interesting yesterday. And I don't. Tom Haberstraw suggested this, and I don't think they'll do it, but it is interesting. Get to pick your opponent.
Well, wasn't that something baseball? I mean, that was something that baseball kind of threw out there when they were talking about expanding the playoffs, wasn't it?
Yep. I think
it's
interesting.
You pick your opponent.
Well, I guess that would be a way to offset the fact that the teams with the best record don't have any home court advantage, right? That would be one of the things that you say, hey, maybe this it is a bit of a gimmick, but it's not necessarily the worst thing in the world.
It's gimmicky.
You should earn something for having the best record in the regular season. The regular
season
does
matter. You're the Bucks. You're 53-12. And really, and this is why a lot of people say the regular season is irrelevant, but what advantage do you have over Orlando, who's the 8th seed? You have in this
Giannis.
Season you have none.
Giannis.
You have
Giannis.
Yeah. I understand. Well, who you trashed yesterday, by the way.
You
did.
It was a tough decision. I had Kawhi and LeBron.
Still can't believe you made that decision.
You know what? You love the fact that I married LeBron. Stop.
I do.
But he was bothered by it.
It was a spicy thing, no doubt.
It was a spicy question. I mean, I got more spicy ones coming up today.
It was like Kung Pao, that question.
Yeah, but take I love Kung Pao. Oh, don't even start. I would love some Kung Pao chicken. Some lo mein, delicious. Here's the other thing, though, Dave. How does this work, though? Because, I mean, when you see the NBA, right, home court usually is the difference of my role players play better at home as opposed to on the road.
Yep.
So does that – does
– I think all bets are off. I don't think we know.
Maybe that's a wash now because it's a neutral court with no fans?
Yeah.
So the cream should rise to the top then. So the best players.
Players should still be the best players, but you have no home court. And you know, in the NBA, home court matters a lot.
For that reason, though. I mean, it's for that reason, though.
Crowd and you have the same players play better.
I get what you're saying, but there is a more distinct home field advantage or home ice advantage in the NHL and the NFL than there is the NBA. The home court is that your role players play better at home. In the NHL, you get last change. In the NFL, you got lack of communication because you've got crowd noise when the other team's on offense. Those are distinct home field advantages. There really is, rule-wise, I mean, outside of the fact that your role players play better at home.
Rule-wise, you don't get an advantage.
Yeah.
So you just got to hope your role players play well because there's no extra pressure because you're not on the road.
But why do your role players have an advantage over the other team's role players? They don't.
They don't.
Right.
No, but you have the advantage of being the best team then.
True.
So the reason I'm the best team is I have the best player or best players. So now if I have my best players plus my role players actually are more consistent now because we're not playing on the road, that's still going to favor the better teams.
Well, the better teams are better, period. So they should have an advantage, but their advantage is not what it would be. And I'm sure spreads will be affected.
Yeah.
Right?
Plus, you don't have to factor in that travel, too. One of the advantages of having a better record is that you don't have to do as much traveling as the team with a lesser record.
I mean, it's an even slate now. No one's traveling.
Yeah, but let's
no
be honest.
No one's going on the road.
Let's be honest, though. What was the expectation in the Western Conference? Who was going to face off in the finals?
Lakers, Clippers.
Okay, they play in the same. They play in the same arena.
Okay.
So the only difference is there'll be no fans.
But that's a big difference.
In the same arena, is that big of a difference?
I think yes.
I don't agree with that.
You don't think so? You don't think when the Lakers
you're in the same advantage? No, yeah, you'll have more fans, but you're in the same locker room. There's no travel. You're in the same practice facility. I mean, that's, if mentally you can't handle having some fans, you know, boo you, it's the same rims. I mean, stop.
Yeah, but players getting energy from the crowd is a real thing, though, especially in the postseason.
Which I think would probably favor the Clippers because they got the deeper bench.
Yeah, so I think if you're the Lakers, this is something
this
that you
is,
have to,
yeah.
Yeah,
it takes away.
It's
it does
for you. It's a bigger
from,
hit for the. It's a bigger hit for the teams that were going to have home court advantage.
Yeah, it does detract from what they've done. Yeah, because it's an advantage that they worked for.
You know what's amazing too? When you look at this proposal that's going to get voted on and is going to get voted yes, how many people that came up with this proposal have their fingers crossed that it ends up Memphis and New Orleans in the play-in?
How awesome would that be?
Be great.
The number one pick versus the number two pick. That'd be great.
It'd be perfect. Great.
I mean, it certainly could. I think that.
Well, they're right there.
The Pelicans, don't they have less losses than the Blazers?
Yeah. One less loss, but one right. less win.
So yeah. Absolutely it could be. You know, if there's any way they can get Zion to play more games, that's what they want.
Of the top 10 teams, there's really only one team that I'm probably not that interested in watching play.
You're in
of
the West.
Of the top 10 teams in the West.
In the West.
Yeah, there's really only one team that I wouldn't be interested in watching play.
And that's either the Kings or the Spurs.
No, the top 10 teams in the West.
The top 10. That is. I don't know.
I feel like he's leaning towards upper, not 9 or 10. I feel like he's higher than that.
Yeah, it's higher than that.
But here, I'm thinking it's Utah, but I wouldn't agree with that.
No, it's not Utah.
OKC?
No.
Who don't you want to see play? Denver?
Denver.
Denver?
Yeah,
Denver's
like
good, though.
I mean, it's not that they're not a good team, Dave. I really just don't have any interest in it. I don't feel the sizzle when it comes to the Denver Nuggets.
But I think
they've got Jamal Murray and they've got Nikola Jokic.
Jokic
but I mean,
is so good.
They're not going to win a championship. And there's really, it's like the way that they play is just, I don't know. It doesn't feel like it's that exciting. Like, I want to watch Utah play because they got Donovan Mitchell. Like, I want to see
and
that.
And Gobert. And they could fight on the court, Gobert. Two of them. Yeah.
Jamal Murray's good, though, with Denver.
And Jokic is a star.
I'm not saying he's not good, but I'm just saying in terms of that
sizzle.
That box office factor.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like that must-watch TV. I don't think the Nuggets have that. Like the Houston Rockets with the small ball experiment, like you want to watch that. You want to see that. The Dallas Mavericks with Luka and KP.
Oh, that is must-watch.
But that's what I'm saying. Like with all of the top 10 teams in the West, there's something or someone that makes me want to tune in and watch. When it comes to the Nuggets, I mean,
maybe that's just watching me. Fat guys. It's like watching fat guys fight in UFC. For some reason, I just thought we're fat boxers. I'm not that into it. I feel like you should be in better shape.
How much better is the West than the East? Oh, my God.
Some would say it's loaded, Dave. Some would say it's loaded.
You know what?
Like the AFC.
You know, the AFC has talent, and you sleep on the talent in the AFC. I don't think it's fair.
The AFC is loaded. They got the Chiefs. They got the Ravens. And
they got other teams there. They got other solid teams. The Bills.
That was by far
a 10-win team.
By far one of your worst takes of all time.
It was not a bad take.
It was terrible.
The AFC is loaded. Really?
Really?
They got the
Chiefs.
They got
the Ravens.
The best two teams in football are in the AFC.
You got the Ravens, the Chiefs, the Texans.
I didn't say
the Ravens. The Ravens lost in the first round. They lost their first playoff game.
So they won 14 games.
Oh, great. I mean, they didn't.
So,
they
so,
didn't
you,
get the
so you are
game.
you don't think that's a, you don't think they're one of the favorites to win the Super Bowl?
No, they are. But you're trying to make a point that doesn't exist. The NFC is clearly more loaded than the AFC. Period.
I look at the AFC as loaded.
But then you have a definite. You must be using a musket because when I look at the AFC,
no, he's using a Mike Norvell definition of things. Right?
Exactly. Don't you lump me in with him? I didn't contact the teams.
The AFC is loaded, and
You'll
I had
see.
One-on-one discussions with my players.
You'll
yeah,
see.
Dave. Dave's got the old two shooter. Yeah, they're loaded. They got two. They got two teams. Fire!
So you usually what have great takes. That was loaded. What defines loaded for you guys then?
More than two teams.
More than two.
More than two teams.
And you think the AFC has two teams that have a chance to win the
at the time. At the time when you were asked the question, yeah, there was two, maybe three teams.
Well,
as opposed to the
three.
NFC that was I think the NFC is probably more loaded now with Tom Brady in the NFC than it was. Seattle's good. San Francisco's good. The Saints are good.
I'm just Tampa's thinking about good. Teams that I could see in the Super Bowl in the AFC, and there's only two or three.
And how many in the NFC?
You're probably talking about
three
four
in
or
the
five.
AFC. Can you think of three? Can you really think of three in the AFC?
Not really. No. I just threw in three just because I might not be
making
fully
feeling
something through.
Tennessee
I just
led
gave
the
you the benefit of the doubt.
Game last year.
I don't know if Tennessee's going to make the playoffs, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one, Rico. I'm with you on that.
I think the Colts are going to be a good team this year. I think you guys are sleeping
you
on the
You can see the Colts in the Super Bowl, Dave?
No, I don't know that, but I think
okay,
be
that's
a
what I'm talking about.
Team.
Yeah, but I mean, think about the NFC. How many of those teams could you see in the Super Bowl?
I would say not more than three.
In the you can only see three teams in the NFC in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, because I don't see the Bucks in the Super Bowl. How is this funny? Give me three teams. You guys get the rest.
I just got a text message from Carlin. He goes. You're such a rabid anti-fatite. Why do you hate watching fat people fight? We're entertaining too.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, he's so good.
That's
he is
funny.
So good. All right, here you go. NFC. I could see Dallas in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
I could see, you know, Green Bay or Minnesota potentially in the Super Bowl. Yep. I could see New Orleans, Tampa. I could see
San Francisco,
Seattle. Philly.
Seattle. There's no way Seattle's going to the Super Bowl.
Seattle was a bad call away from being the number one seed in the whole NFC last year.
That's what I'm saying.
What are you talking about?
That's so crazy, Dave. That's crazy talk.
You realistically think Seattle can go to the Super Bowl?
Yes.
Seattle's the second best quarterback
Dallas
in the NFL.
Going to go to the Super Bowl. You guys are nuts. Give me three teams. You can have everybody else.
Dave, you're wrong on this one, man. Don't pick this hill to die on. You're wrong.
Yeah, take your medicine.
The NFC has more teams that you could see making a Super Bowl run than the AFC. Just accept it.
Oh, I'm not opposed to that. I don't disagree with that. But to say that the AFC is two teams and that's it, I think is wrong.
Well, if you can only realistically see two teams making it to the Super Bowl out of a field of 16, then how is that? I don't know.
Well, I don't agree with that.
You don't agree? Okay. So outside of Baltimore, Kansas
team.
City, who do you see making a run? Maybe
I think
you
Tennessee's
know
a legitimate team. I think Indianapolis is a legitimate team.
So you're saying you see Indy going to the Super Bowl?
I give them as good a chance as I give Dallas to go to the Super Bowl.
Wow. Spicy take, Dave Rothenberg.
He just hates Dallas.
I think Dallas is a Super Bowl team.
He can't be taken serious.
I think it's very realistic that the Cowboys win the division, but do I think that they're going to go to the Super Bowl? No.
Oh, man. Hey.
And I don't think Green Bay's going to the Super Bowl. I think New Orleans. I think San Francisco. Those are, in my mind,
I don't feel great about that New Orleans going to the Super Bowl right now. I mean,
they're headed more for the toilet bowl than the Super Bowl at this point. Yeah. But I mean, come on, Dave, you lost this fight. Okay, yeah. Just take it.
I don't think
ding,
so.
Ding, ding,
ding. Dave, Santa, you lost, towel man. Throw the towel. Santa, throw the damn towel.
Not throwing it. I'm going to stand by it.
Throw the towel. Ring the bell. He lost. It's over.
I'll
take
an apology. Throw the damn towel. At some point in December, God willing, that football is continuing along. I will.
You're all of a sudden like you're like.
Just got a text from someone at the station. I'm not even going to tell you who. It says
John Withrop.
It
was John. Obviously, it was John Withrop.
Indy,
yeah,
Dallas. These guys are out of their minds. I'll take Indy all day long.
That's got to be Winthrop.
It's not as one.
He loses all credibility.
It's not as one sided as you guys think.
No, it is.
No, it's not.
It really is.
No, it really is. You lost.
I didn't. And the best two teams in football are in the AFC.
Dave, you know what? You remind me, right? This is like the Kumite, right? This is like the Kumite. This is that moment where I have you in my grasp, and I'm just begging you, just tap out. Please tap out. I don't want to
have to Chung Lee him.
Exactly. Chung Lee's like begging, just let's end this. And then you say, no, I'm going to keep fighting. And then before you know it, I snap your back. Over my knee. And it's over. Then
I'm
going to
remember this. And when the AFC has many teams with 10-plus wins, I'll accept apologies. Verbal apologies on the air.
Dave, the only time I'm going to apologize to you is if somebody other than Baltimore or Kansas City makes it to the Super Bowl.
And you'd think there's almost zero chance of that.
I think there is a very small chance of that happening. Yes.
So unless, unless of course catastrophic injuries, like Pat Mahomes is not the quarterback, barring injury. Like Pat Mahomes isn't the quarterback for Kansas City, and for some reason Lamar Jackson is not the quarterback of the Ravens.
Yeah.
That's it.
All right. We will see. We will see. I'll take apologies in December. I look forward to that greatly.
Give me one of your Hanukkah gifts, which was not going. It's not going to happen because what you're saying is not going to happen.
All right, we'll see. I'm dying on this one.
Oh, you're dying. I mean, you're
I'm dying on this one. I'm dying on this one. A lot of supportive tweets as well. I feel good.
No, here we go. You and Twitter. You love Twitter when they support you.
That's right. It's
egomaniac. You're an egomaniac. That's who you are.
How so?
Egomaniac. Because you just you're like the dog that just wants to be pet all day long. Like enough. Like I'm okay. Can we not do this? No, I need to be pet. Pet me. Pet me. Pet me. That's who you are right now.
That's fine. I think the AFC is better than you guys give it credit. Everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Come on. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you're sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and 98.7 ESPN New York. All right, Rick, are you ready?
I am ready, David. The question is Santy ready with our music?
That's right. It's always a question. Oh, of course he's on ready. The ball today.
Of course he's ready. Best in the business. He's like an octopus in that studio right now. Sound calls. here we go. All right. So you kind of insinuated that maybe I'd do some NBA. We did NBA yesterday. What I'm going to do is, because I'm still holding out hope, fingers crossed that we do see Major League Baseball.
Yep.
I'm going to go back to Major League Baseball.
I enjoyed the base after the sauerkraut ketchup mustard questions. I think baseball was right there.
Well, we're going to have a fun CMT tomorrow. Friday, fun CMT tomorrow.
Nice, right?
Okay, so here we go.
I have to involve infield, the hot dog.
It doesn't have. we've done infield. We did outfield. I saved pitching, so we're going to go with pitchers today. Ready for this?
All right.
Yeah.
I'm going to put you guys in some really, really tough situations here.
Good.
First one I'm going to give you. I'm going to save the really, really interesting one till a little bit later. I'm going to give you Justin Verlander, Clayton Kershaw, or Steven Strasburg.
Wow. All right. Now, I have to follow up with a question. Am I looking for one win? Is this season long?
You're looking for who gives you the best opportunity throughout the course of a Major League Baseball season to win a championship.
Throughout the course of a season and then also encompass the postseason into my decision.
You're picking your guy.
And we're also looking long-term as well. Now, none of these guys are young, but I mean, Verlander's, 38, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's a spry 38, though.
He's very spry. Years old, terrific. Yep.
All right. Chris, do you want honors or you want me to go?
Yeah, I'll take honors, Dave.
Oh, go ahead.
I am going to marry Verlander. I feel like that's the obvious one. Ever since he got to Houston, he's been lights out as a pitcher. You know, he won the Cy Young last year. I see the performance in the postseason. He's clutch, but he's also going to give me consistency throughout the regular season. Every fifth day, I know my team has a really good chance of winning because the ball's in his hand. So I'm going to marry Justin Verlander.
If it was socially acceptable, I wouldn't marry them.
I'm going to cuddle up to one Steven Strasburg.
Bombs and
relationships. And I know that might be a little bit interesting, but based on what I saw from him this past postseason and leading the Washington Nationals on that run, I don't know how you couldn't love the way he's pitching right now, the way he's throwing the ball. So I am going to cuddle Steven Strasburg, and I know this seems wrong because this is a guy that's had a lot of success in baseball, but I'm going to trash Clayton Kershaw.
Look at this garbage!
It may seem wrong, but you got a partner in crime here. I am also going to trash one Clayton Kershaw.
Look at this garbage!
I mean, you got to take into account, first of all, his best days are clearly behind him. Second of all, in the biggest moments, he has not had his biggest moments. So I will trash Clayton Kershaw. Here's where we differ a little bit. I'm going to cuddle Justin Verlander.
Bombs and hellacious seeds.
And that for me, and by the way, my pregnant pauses are on point today. That for me is because just age. I mean, Strasburg has 7 years on Verlander. So it's really an age thing. Yes, I'm an ageist.
You're an ageist.
Yeah, I know. With this, I am. So I will, I will cuddle Verlander and I will all out marry. And based on what he did last year, he was so good, helping them win a World Series. I will marry Strasburg.
If it was socially acceptable, I would marry them.
I like it. Here we go. I'm going to give you some lefties. I'm going to give you one Patrick Corbin. I'm going to give you Max Fried. And I'm going to give you Hun Jin Ryu.
All right, Ryu, and then Fried.
Go ahead, Dave. You got honors.
It's really tough, Chris, because, I mean, Fried is young.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Max Fried is...
He's a stud.
But how old is he? He can't be 25.
No, Max Fried.
No, he's 25 years old.
So, I got a 25-year-old. And Ryu is how old?
Corbin is 30. Fried is 25.
Right.
And then
Ryu is 33.
33.
And salary as well. All right, you want me to start? Yeah. I'll start. I'm going to marry
Patrick. I like all the thought.
What?
I do appreciate all the thought that's going into this answer.
It has to. I take it very seriously.
I like it.
I'm going to marry Patrick Corbin.
If it was socially acceptable, I wouldn't marry them.
I know.
That's a big contract.
It's a big contract, but you know what? He pitched really well in the postseason in big spots last year. He's 30, so I have years left. And I think just as far as who's accomplished the most, who still has the most time, and I have that Graf Corbin is the guy. I'm going to cuddle Max Fried.
Bombs and hellacious seeds.
He makes nothing. He's 25 years old, so I'll cuddle him, and he actually is closer to being married than Ryu is to being cuddled. I will trash Ryu.
Look at this garbage!
Okay, I'm right there with you in terms of trashing Ryu, but we got it different with Corbin and Fried. Listen, I like Fried. He's young. He's the ace of that staff down there in Atlanta. He's the man. I love what we saw from him. Between him and Soroka, those two are pretty damn good. So I'm gonna marry Fried.
If it was socially acceptable, I would marry them.
And I'm gonna cuddle Corbin.
I like that. Fried is 26, by the way.
Mm-hmm. 26.
He's 26?
26, yeah. Okay. He is a stud.
Soroka's a baby. I don't think Soroka's 20. He's like 22 or 23.
I think he's 21.
Is he that young?
I think he's that.
You know
young,
what Canty's
yeah.
doing though. He's going. I mean, he's going through Atlanta's pitching today. He did it on purpose.
He's 22, Dave. You're right.
He's 22 years old.
22.
He's just trying to. He's rubbing it in. As he knows we're Mets fans, and he wants to just poke at us. That's what he's
that's
doing.
Fine.
I know exactly what he's doing.
You know he's a damn good pitcher. I don't got to tell you that.
Yeah, but you're just reasserting. Reasserting yourself. I'm a Yankees fan. Look at me. We're better. Okay, we get it. All right, we get it. Here we go. I'm going to give you some young guns now. I'm going to give you Walker Buehler.
Buehler, what?
Jack Flaherty. And Shane, I'm not Justin Bieber.
All right. And they're all very good.
Very good.
You want me to start, Chris?
Go ahead, Dave.
It's not easy. Flaherty's so good, but I'll trash Flaherty.
Look
at this garbage!
I don't feel good about it.
Disrespectful.
It's not great, but what am I going to do?
I have no choice, Dave.
Look at these other guys. I mean, Bieber is a terrific, terrific pitcher. I mean, they're all young. I don't feel great about it, but Bieber does it in the American League, which is a tougher league to pitch in. So I'll cuddle Bieber.
Hellacious seeds.
Mm-hmm. There you go. And I think Buehler is the best. I think in 2 years you can look at him as a top five pitcher in baseball. I think the upside is there. I think he's great now. So I will very welcomely marry Walker Buehler.
If it was socially acceptable, I would marry them.
Well, Dave, we're seeing eye to eye on this one. I have the exact same thing that you do for this part of Cuddle, Marry, Trash. I'm going to marry Walker Buehler.
If it was socially acceptable, I would marry
him. I'm going to cuddle the Biebs.
Bombs and hellacious seeds.
And I am trashing Flaherty.
Look at this garbage!
I think I would probably cuddle Flaherty, if I'm being honest.
I mean, you're not wrong.
Bombs and hellacious seeds.
Flaherty's great.
All right, here we go. You ready for this one? This is going to put
I don't know.
You, this
that
is,
last one still has me, you know, shaking.
Yeah, this is only a precursor to what's up next. I'm going to test you now because emotions sometimes, I know you pride yourself on not letting emotion get in the way.
I do.
I'm going to give you Garrett Cole, Max Scherzer, and the reigning defending.
Two-time.
Back-to-back Cy Young Award winner, Jacob DeGrom.
All right, Chris. You want to take
it? Okay, I can take honors.
I'm at it. Make sure you're respectful here when you do it.
Well, this is going to come as a little bit of a surprise for you guys. But I'm going to do it. I'm going to trash Garrett Cole. I'm going to do it.
Goodness.
As much as I love when he brings to the tables, I put the two other guys in a whole different regard. Like there's just something about the consistency and being dominant for so long. What Jacob DeGrom has done over the past 2 years is incredible. I'm marrying that all day, every day. And then what we saw from Max Scherzer since he's been a Washington National, I have no choice. My hand was forced. I'm going to cuddle Scherzer. I'm going to marry DeGrom. And I'm going to trash Garrett Cole. You happy, Rick? You happy you did it?
Yeah. That was what I was hoping to accomplish, yeah.
Okay. I got to be honest. I've never respected you more. I have never respected you more than I do right now. I might build some kind of a monument in my front yard for you. I might. All right, I'm not going to agree with you, though.
Okay.
I mean, I'll agree with the start. I mean, when you talk upper echelon pitcher, the best of the best, you start with the great Jacob DeGrom. I'll marry him.
If it was socially acceptable, I wouldn't marry them.
I'm going to cuddle Cole, and
bombs
I'll tell you why.
And hellacious seeds.
I believe Garrett Cole is 28 years old, right?
Mm-hmm.
Max Scherzer is 35. Mm-hmm. That's a big, big difference. Max Scherzer will turn 36 later next month.
Mm-hmm.
So I will marry DeGrom, cuddle Cole, and it's hard to say, but I'll say it. Trash Scherzer.
Firmly. Look at this garbage! Look at this garbage!
I can understand that. I'm probably with you. I would marry DeGrom, I would cuddle Garrett Cole, and then just strictly wear and tear on his arm and age. I can't believe what I'm saying.
He's a Hall of Famer, right?
That's about it.
Yeah, Scherzer's great, but I mean, you're talking about the difference. I mean, he's thrown, 2,290 innings as opposed to Garrett Cole, who's 29 and has thrown 1,200 innings.
He's got 6 innings of 200 or more. That's a lot of pitch.
He's a stud.
Yeah, he's a stud.
He's a machine.
And he's got the freaky different color eyes, too. Which
that's uncomfortable, right?
But there you go, boys. That is the Major League Baseball edition of a CMT on a Thursday.
I love it. Now, tomorrow is Friday, and that becomes a fun Friday for a CMT, yes?
Yeah, that's a relaxed. That's nice. A relaxed CMT tomorrow, yeah.
I wonder if movies could be involved?
I think movies could be involved.
Oh.
I was going to spice it up, but I was told no with some position talk, but that was quickly...
You did not. There's no way you brought that to someone's attention.
I did.
You did not.
I'm sitting here looking at my notes. I got a whole list. I got oil drill. I mean, you name it.
Oh, my God. You really
That's
are.
A tough one, though. That's you dangerous. Really that's at your own
yes.
risk.
Yes. That would
oil
be the,
drill
at
your, the Canty oil drill Rothy at your own risk.
Would follow. Follow that.
Drill right. at your own risk.
DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.